Tanjalu. Tanjalu. What we call Tanjalu. Not tangerine, the Tanjalu, the ones in Lagos, the big ones that are sweet. Who has eaten Tanjalu? Who does not know what Tanjalu is? Am I missing the name? Maybe I didn't get the name correct. Did I miss the name? Is Tanjalu not so? Hallelujah. Amen. Who has eaten Tanjalu at all? It is a mixture between orange and tangerine. Grafted. Many times it does not have seed inside. But sometimes there are one or two seeds. Who likes Tanjalu? I am one of those who like it. Tanjalu is sweeter than tangerine. It is sweeter than orange. It took the best that orange has, and it took the best that tangerine has. Amen. But there's something about Tanjalu that you may not know. If you take the seed from inside Tanjalu and plant it, it will germinate, but it cannot produce either orange or tangerine. When you plant the seed, it will germinate, but it cannot produce because it does not know which one to produce. What I want to explain. My lesson is very simple. CMFI Nigeria is gradually becoming Tanjalu. People are trying to take the best from every ministry. So you have no power to grow. Because mixtures cannot grow. One of the laws of growth is that hybridizations and mixtures, syncretisms cannot multiply. So you take the best of what all the many churches that many of you have been to before you came to CMFI, you keep the best from them. Then you take the good things of CMFI and you mix it and it cannot grow. If you plant an orange, it will grow. If you plant tangerine, it will grow and it will bear. But if you plant Tanjalu, it will germinate, but it does not know what to bear. Because inside it, in the genetics, there are two fruits. In the consumption, it has blended so well that it takes the best. It takes the best of all the sides. But in its procreation, it has no power to multiply. It absorbed the best of all that it came from. But in its power to reproduce, it has no power to reproduce. And CMFI in Nigeria has become Tangelo. Many of us are beginning to follow the so-called wisdom of syncretism. That is, why not take the best from here, take the best from here, so that we can have a ministry that is very wonderful to which people can come. Well, you will be a ministry that many people like, but you will not be a ministry that grows. And you can produce a ministry which many people like, but which cannot grow. If you were just one of the normal Nigerian churches, and you followed it, you will grow. You will have the kind of people. If you decided to become a part of Brazak's vision, and you were the Zakformum kind, maybe God will bless that kind and it will grow. But to take the best that can come from Brazak and take the methods and the approaches which are operative in Nigeria, mix the methods with the content. Take the content from Zakformum, package it with Nigeria, and sell it. It will be sweet. It cannot grow. None of you has made a mistake of struggling to substitute the content of the ministry. And because you are loyal to the content, you believe that you are loyal to the ministry. But you have embraced the form, the syncretism in form. You took the content from Brazak's ministry and took the packaging from popular Christianity and Pentecostalism. It produces a ministry which many people can consume, but it doesn't produce a ministry that can grow. It has no germinative, and it has no procreative, it has no multiplying power. He doesn't have it. Tangelo. So you both preempted me. That's where I was going. Tangelo ministry. Either be tangerine ministry or be orange ministry. But you can't take the best of all the forms and produce anything that can grow. It is in the power to grow that mixtures are completely useless. In attractiveness, in desirability, mixtures are very, very, very wonderful. But in the power to grow, to multiply, mixtures are completely useless. It has been coming slowly over the years. It has even been a crisis, even back in Cameroon. It has been the logic of many people. If we want to grow like other Pentecostal churches, why don't we do what they do? And when you follow that mentality, you may be a monkey of wherever you are, whatever you are imitating, and you may be very entertaining in those who watch you. But you cannot multiply. When I listen to many of you, I can tell which ones you are mixing. You can even see which ones each of the missionaries is trying to mix. And whenever a missionary begins to try to mix things, or a leader begins to try to mix things, it is because he has become salt without taste. And he's looking for taste, looking for what the people know, looking for what the people can identify with, trying to say, no, you may not be Tangelo, but you have become a supermarket. You gather everything that people need so that people can come and shop. You become a church shop, a church supermarket, laboring to have everything that church shoppers are looking for. If they are looking for healing, you start talking the way the healing evangelists talk so that they can find healing. This morning I was asking myself, if somebody was listening to us from outside, when we are praising God, when we are singing, when we are sharing, and he did not come inside here, and he did not see any poster, and he just wanted to know, what church is that? Will he distinguish what is happening here from the other Pentecostal churches? Can he distinguish? Just imagine that you didn't know us. You don't know our roots. You don't know our name. You don't know anything. And you just stood outside and you heard us singing and doing our normal things. Will it arrest your attention to say, hey, but what is happening? This does not sound like what I know. Well, is there any distinction? Many of you have been loyal to the content, to the message. I think some of you have been loyal to the founder. At least to some aspects. But there is the courage to do the editing, to adapt it. There is the Nigeria version, the Nigeria English version. I know that there are Bibles. They say this is English. This is American English. This is South African English version. And then maybe they should do another one, which is Nigeria Benin version. I went to Sierra Leone. I was preaching in English, and they were translating into Creole, into Pidgin, and I could not understand. I said, this is Pidgin English. I listened very well. They rapped it and I didn't understand. But it's a derivative of English. Gradually, there are foundational changes. Foundational modifications. We have taken content from Zach Fomu and taken form from popular Pentecostalism. And it is not working. So many of you, it cannot grow. It will neither look like the Zach Fomu, nor will it look like Nigerian Pentecostalism. Tangelo does not know which fruit to bear. If somebody wanted to eat orange, he would not buy tangelo. And if somebody wanted to eat tangerine, he would not buy tangelo. If somebody wanted to plant tangerine, he cannot go and plant tangelo. It can be eaten, it is sweet, it is pleasant, it is attractive. It sells even more than oranges and more than tangerine. It may be more expensive, but it cannot grow. It cannot reproduce. It cannot procreate. It is consumer-friendly and vegetatively impotent. Sweet for consumption, but impotent in procreation. That's one of the things that I learned yesterday from the accountability. We are doing a lot more trying to do it the way they do it so that it can work. It is like going to Alaba Market. I have television, you have television. I have amplifier, you have amplifier. I have electronics, you have electronics. I have electrical products, you have electrical products. So the next thing now is make the loudest noise through advertisement so that the customers come back to your own shop instead of going to the next person's shop. That's what people have started doing. It's not because you have anything different, but advertisement, attraction, trying to draw the attention of church shoppers. Come to us instead of there. And then when the brethren were praying, I began to hear the normal language I know in Nigeria. And when I joined CMFI, my life began to go well. Who understands me? Very nice language. It's utterly useless. Because there's no relationship with Jesus. It is just the same thing that makes people go to Babalawo. If you go to this Babalawo, it will work. Not so. So we have turned into Babalawo Church. If you come here, it will work. Marketability, commercialization, advertisement, advertorial plausibility, but impotent. So much advertisement has increased, and potency has reduced. Nigeria has the largest population of Jehovah Witnesses in Africa. By 1990, there were close to 21 million Jehovah Witnesses in Nigeria. But Jehovah Witnesses have now, they don't hold a campaign in a stadium. They have no television program in Nigeria. There are very few public meeting halls. All they do is what God told us to do, and which we are not doing, to evangelize with our children. How many people drive Jehovah Witnesses, but they keep going? And they keep growing. They keep going. They don't hold any campaign. They don't have a radio program. They don't have a television program. Just literature and evangelism and Bible study groups. And they are more numerous than any Pentecostal church you can name in Nigeria. We make all the noise. We compete for all the space on the podium, on the public podium. And we advertise ourselves like old prostitutes who no longer have any appeal. And it doesn't grow. Brazak warned us when the ministry was starting in Bode Thomas. When we were even still few, he told us that the reason why it will be difficult for us to grow is that many of us are dissatisfied with the Christianity we had in Nigeria. And many of us have left it. But many of us have not embraced the Christianity that we admire. So we are lost in transit. We are spiritually hungry enough to have left what the nation offers, but not disciple enough to have embraced what we admired. And he told us, the power to influence others, the power to change others, the power even to draw others, comes from the quotient of difference. How different are we? It is difference that attracts. We have left something, but we resemble that thing. We admire something and follow it, but we have not quite swallowed it. So we are like tasteless salt in purgatory. Neither heaven nor hell. In purgatory, you have enough hell to be suffering, but you have enough hope to go to heaven. I don't think purgatory exists, but if purgatory existed, they call it little fire. No, limbo is where you are not even conscious. I think you have understood me. Hungry enough to have left what is available, but too afraid to embrace fully what we admired. Our ministry has not succeeded in all. Very significantly in any of the Anglophone nations in the world, mostly because of syncretism. Because the Anglophone nations have a religious culture and our missionaries plug into it. So they bring no difference. You want to share something? They do not carry difference.
I just want to confirm to what Brother Theodore is saying. For quite some time, we've been asking God. My name is Wilfred Ketu Lekunze, missionary in Ghana. I've been asking that question for very long because we try to do things the way others are doing it, and the mixture has not led to growth. So what the Lord brought me back, as you go back to our message, I teach one thing, those who are working with us, to seek God and to go back to what we knew from the very beginning. Some of the missionaries have started picking up, and the work is picking up now. We specifically teach our books. We don't want the mixtures of rising and falling as it has been happening. And some of the missionaries who have stick to this, we sent one just a few months ago. When he went, he said the place was difficult. But after some time, I said, no, just seek God, teach the books. He started going out to evangelize, start many Bible study groups. From other churches, people started coming. He's so excited about it. I say, we are not going to do things the way they are doing it. What have we been taught? We have something to deliver. We can't mix up and there'll be growth. It has not helped us. And we have gone back to it. And brethren, it is working. It is working. Among most of the missionaries, when we carry out the training, we make sure that everybody has the 12 fundamental book, the Way series. And we say, just teach the messages. And one of them, some pastors say, please, on Sunday we'll just be singing. When you finish, come and teach our people your message. They are inviting us to come and teach them. But we are not mixing up things again. We just keep to our message. We tell people, walk with God. Go out and evangelize. Start Bible studies group. Just teach the books. And it is picking up. Praise the Lord.
In Deuteronomy chapter 12, somebody read Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 4 to 8. Are you having King James Version? Good. Read it.
Praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 4 to 11.
4 to 8.
You must not worship the Lord your God in their way, but you are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among all, from among your tribes, to put his name there for his dwelling. To that place you must go. There bring your burnt offerings and sacrifice, your tithe and special gifts, what you have vowed to give, and your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. 7. There in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your families shall eat and shall rejoice in everything you have put your hands to, because the Lord your God has blessed you. 8. You are not to do as we do here today, everyone as he sees fit. Praise God.
Somebody else read it. Thank you. So that you can observe the punctuations. Deuteronomy 12, verse 4 to 8.
Deuteronomy chapter 12, 4 to 8. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way, but you are to seek the place the Lord your God will choose from among your tribes, to put his name there for his dwelling. To that place you must go. There bring your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, what you have vowed to give and your freewill offerings and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. There, in the presence of the Lord your God, you and your families shall eat and shall rejoice in everything you have put your hands to, because the Lord your God has blessed you. You are not to do as we do here today, everyone doing as he sees fit, since you have not yet reached the resting place and the inheritance the Lord your God has given you.
Two forms of syncretism were forbidden. No, just read verse 31 and 32. Deuteronomy 12, 31 and 32.
Verse 31 and 32. You must not worship the Lord your God in their way, because in worshiping their gods, they do all kinds of detestable things the Lord hates. They even burn their sons and daughters in the fire.
Read with life so that it communicates, please.
You must not worship the Lord your God in their way, because in worshiping their gods, they do all kinds of detestable things the Lord hates. They even burn their sons and daughters in the fire as sacrifices to their gods. See that you do all I command you. Do not add to it or take away from it.
Moses was telling the Israelites, you may want to innovate new ways of worshiping God. Here he is not forbidding them against idolatry, because the issue here is not about what and whom they are worshiping. He says, these people are worshiping idols. God has already forbidden that Israel should not worship idols. But in this passage, Moses says, don't now do in your worshiping of God what they do in their worshiping of idols. Don't worship God in the way these people worship their idols. Don't do it. Don't borrow their method, even if you don't embrace their gods. Don't borrow it. So the idol worshiper does this. He kabiesis his God. He does this, he does that, and does this, and does that. And then we say, no, that one is, all of that is for an idol. And we decide that, no, the one who truly deserves the worship is the Lord our God. And then we start trying to do for God what the pagan does for his idol. And Moses said, you shall not do it. The way a God is worshipped reflects the nature of that God. If an idol is worshipped in a certain way, it is because that idol has a certain nature. God does not have the nature of an idol, so he cannot be worshipped the way idols are worshipped. God repeated in one chapter, you shall not worship the Lord your God the way they worship their gods. You shall not. Don't keep the content and borrow the method. Don't worship the Lord God, your God. You truly worship him, but you have borrowed the way other people worship their gods to do it, not for them, but for your God. Who has understood me? It has to do with the way we worship God. The Lord said, you shall not worship your God the way these people worship their gods. That's the kind of trick that Aaron wanted to do. Aaron, it's just that the other, it was the other way around. When the people brought their earrings and said Aaron should make them gods, Aaron made the gods, and then Aaron wanted to mix it. He was already feeling guilty because he knew that they were not supposed to worship idols. So he said, tomorrow there will be a feast unto the Lord. So he wanted to have an image, but tell the people that he represents the Lord. Who is understanding? Aaron did it the other way around. He wanted them to realize that these bulls only represent the strength of the Lord. It is not really the bulls that we are worshiping. So tomorrow, there will be a feast unto the Lord. But it will be carried out bowing to idols. Aaron wanted to cheat so that he would not have a bad conscience when Moses comes. He brought syncretism, mixtures. That's one of the things that has ruined the work in Nigeria. A stubborn commitment to methodologies that are cultural to the Nigerian Pentecostalism. And I want to say that even that stubborn commitment to Pentecostal culture is a deviation. That's not what Nigerian Christianity was. When the gospel came to Nigeria, when Pentecostalism started in Nigeria, it was a holiness movement. It was brought by missionaries from the holiness churches of the apostolic faith in England. Many of you may not know the history of Christianity in Nigeria. When Apostle Babalola started, and God was with him, and he was a disciple to Pa Elton. Then one day, he was so busy, and he asked one woman that I cannot come because the woman needed somebody to be healed and came to Babalola to beg him for healing, to come and heal. Babalola was tired and said, I cannot come. Just bring me some water. Let me pray. Go and give her, let her drink. The Lord will heal her. The woman brought the water, gave the apostle, he prayed, and they carried it back. And the woman drank and was healed. And CAC was born. Pa Elton called Babalola and said, discourage this increasing blessing of water that has come on you, so that you do not introduce sacramentalism and Old Testament into the gospel. Babalola told him, you are from England, from a culture of ideas. I am from Africa, from a culture of materialism. My people need something to touch. It is adapting the culture to the gospel to our culture. That's how Christ Apostolic Church was created and broke away from Christ, from apostolic faith. It was a conflict between the gospel and sacramentalism, the Colossian heresy. And it has worked because CAC has extinguished apostolic faith. You hardly hear anything about apostolic faith. There are some that nobody even knows anything about them. CSC has gone to over 12 million. The apostolic church. I'm sorry. I know that they are different. Okay, the apostolic church. So he just broke away and put in front Christ Apostolic Church, and the whole thing changed. And it has worked in Nigeria. There was a big problem when the London Missionary Society came to Nigeria. They started the churches and started worship and everything. And there were a lot of problems in Yoruba land because of multiple marriages and polygamy. So some bishops, they argued until there was no solution. So some of the bishops broke away from the Anglican Church to start the African Church because they needed to permit polygamy. Because they told them, monogamy is a cultural issue for you people, but polygamy is a reality with which we live here in Africa. So the African Church was started from the Anglican Church. And the only difference is neither in ritual, nor in message, nor in anything, but just in the embracing of the culture so that it can be a church in which those who are polygamous can settle. And then it went far beyond what they intended. Instead of just providing a place where the polygamists can have communion, because the real crisis started because the wives of a polygamous man was allowed to take communion, but the polygamist himself was not allowed to take communion. But his money was collected in the offerings. So they started asking him. So some of the polygamists started asking, my wives are holy, but I am a sinner. My money is holy, but I am a sinner. How can you take my money, take my wives, but I cannot be taken? So they started the African Church, where the wife, the money, and the man himself can be accepted. That was the initial crisis, and the reasoning was correct. The reasoning was correct. How can you take a man's wife, and he's a communicant, and you accept a man's offering to build a church, but the man himself must never take communion? The reasoning was correct, but it degenerated so that in the African Church, it will now became permitted to marry many wives. At the beginning, it was the polygamist has a place in the Church of Jesus, but later on, it became polygamy is authorized and it will not remove you from church. Believers cannot become polygamous, but those who were polygamous can find a place in the church. That is the teaching of the New Testament. But it changed. As all those things usually change. When Babalola prayed for that woman to go and bring healing, it was purely a heart of compassion for a man to whom God had granted the gifts of healing. And many of you may not know, he fasted 40 days every year. So none of these things that we are teaching you people with CMFI is new to Nigeria. Babalola did 240-day fast every year. He woke up every morning as Pastor Elton taught him to meditate and write it, as we do. Now everybody, pure water is good business now in CAC. Gallons of water and basins of water. So sacramentalism was introduced into the gospel. And even out of a deep desire for compassion and a deep compassion for people, unwittingly, without initially intending it, he carried the people back to the Old Testament. And when he realized that it made him popular, he broke away from the missionary who had built him. Who has understood me? It was not started in rebellion. It was started in compassion. when the Scripture Union came and Dr. Oye was going all over in the East and all that, many of the early Scripture Union leaders, the one I read, I've forgotten his name, he did a 30-day fast, complete fast as we know it, every 3 months. He fasted 30 days every 3 months. So there was a Scripture Union revival in the late 60s. Towards the late 70s, some of those who were built in the Scripture Union revival began to say that the SU has become an insult name, and it has made us lose the young people, that we are losing the younger generation of believers. So we should do something so that we can keep the younger generation. So one of them got very bold, shaved his punk, went on the stage and was charismatic, and the young flooded to the church. That's how Joda changed Pentecostalism. And it has spread. In the early 1990s, another mega trend came into Nigeria. Sonny Okonsu came into the church and found that he could liven up the church, formed his group of his choir. They went to the stage, turned their back, shook their buttocks at the congregation, and Nigerian Pentecostalism went wild. We did not have to now fear what we can do in church. So Sonny Okonsu became one of the milestones of Nigerian Christianity. And today, almost this multitude of so-called praise singers do not know that he is their apostle. They have turned the church into a legitimate nightclub. Everything goes. Just shake it so that the brethren can receive ministry. Who has understood me? And the people who are imitating Sonny Okonsu have gone far beyond anything he ever did. He just wanted to liven up worship. He wanted worship to become more lively. But after he broke that barrier, there is no barrier anymore. Shake it and shake the brethren. Hallelujah. In the later 1990s, a reaction movement started. Many brethren began to react to the increasing superficiality in the Pentecostal movement. And a few of them began to gather to study the Bible deeply, to begin to pray. They started off studying the Bible, praying a lot, and developing God's presence as a reaction to the increasing superficiality that they were finding. And they even started with a lot of our books, the Bud Zakfomum's books, and learn from him to pray. Then change the prayer topics to reflect Nigerian realities based on Soyinka's Forest of a Thousand Demons, bringing in a worldview that is pantheistic into prayer as a force. So they introduce shamanism through our ministry while teaching on prayer. So now we pray against this, what this one is planning against me. So somebody just, one of them just took the Yoruba pantheon, based on Shoyinka's documentations and began to write prayer topics about people's lives. So instead of going to the Babalawo, just do the prayer topics. But the prayer topics are not rooted on a worldview, a biblical worldview, but on a paganistic and pantheistic worldview. And so they created parantheism. It's neither pantheism, because they don't worship their idols, nor is it Christianity. It is a parenthesis. So it is now a... that's how Mountain of Fire started and brought into Nigerian Christianity prayer as content and a Yoruba pantheon as form. Prayer is not what is wrong. Many of you are so young, and I think many of you believe that in this CMFI, we really don't know what works in Nigeria. We came from Cameroon. We don't know what works. But you see, it is not working. The adaptations are not working. You can easily identify those who are CAC here. Former CAC. You just need to stand up and pray. We'll know where you came from. Tanjalo. Sweet, attractive, but not procreative. We shouldn't have done that. Because we are even imitating things whose origin we don't know. Things that are actually deviations from what God gave Nigeria, not even through our ministry. What spread the revival in Nigeria was the word of God and Bible memorization. It wasn't trying to capture people to be attracted to the church. Dr. Mike Oye preached in almost every secondary school in Eastern Nigeria and in Western Nigeria and in Northern Nigeria between 1963 and 1979. He had groups of little disciples there whom he trained, and those disciples are now the big names in Nigerian Pentecostalism. If you want to imitate something, find out at least where it came from. But anyway, there is the general psychology that whatever works, as long as it will work, if you end up building a house, who cares whether you stole the money? You have succeeded. But my problem is that it is not working for us here in CMFI. Our own attempts to borrow from here and borrow from here is not working because of God's jealousy over us. You may not know it. That's what all the fasting does. Fasting weeds the ministry. It removes that which is planted by the enemy. So that even what we are planting and introducing cannot work. I never knew I would come to Nigeria as a missionary. But when I left university, I read from SEAL, the language translation group, an exhaustive study on the Yoruba pantheon. I didn't know I would need it one day. And I don't think anybody needs to demonstrate that we know what we are doing for you to follow, if your heart is right. So many of you started well, and you stick to the content, and you change the form. I can give you more examples, but I think it's enough. So many people are syncretistic. We don't want to be a church which other people cannot join. They must find what they know in our midst. We don't want to be too different. And yet we don't want to be like them, because we have enough hunger for God. We love God. We are hungry for God. We want reality. But not... It is the vaccination principle. We have taken enough of the Zakfomo ministry to become hardened from embracing all of it. Because in vaccination, they give you a little disease so that when the true disease comes, it will not affect you because you have developed resistance. So many of us have embraced and admired Brazak's ministry sufficiently to become hardened and not change. That's one of the causes of poor growth. That's one of the causes of poor growth. Tangelo ministry. I thank God that none of you is sleeping, but you are looking at me shocked. It cannot grow. You are tired of what is available in the land, but you don't want to embrace fully what you admire. At the beginning, I rejected many such people, including two generals who wanted to be in the ministry. One of them was going to the then Bethel Church in Lekki. Or was it Ikoyi? Bethel. Oh. Yeah, it was Beraka. Yes, one of them was going to... No, Beraka. They used Bethel. The general was in Beraka. No, that's he became a general when we were talking. When he came with us, he was a colonel at that time. It is the Benin one. I don't want to call his name, since it may still be extant. That one was Bethel. It was in Beraka. But the other one was in Bethel. He came and he was willing to be discipled. He said, "Brat, I need to be discipled." It was with him that I first gave the expression. I said, "General, when a woman is running away from firewood kitchen and says, hey, let me come out so that I can see. The smoke has blinded me inside this kitchen. I want to see. And there's too much smoke in this kitchen. I said, General, do you know the person who has not been in that kitchen knows and smells smoke on him? He did not leave all the smoke in the kitchen. He carries some. I said, this Bethel that you are criticizing, I smell smoke on you. Who has understood me? You think that you have abandoned it. You think that you have left all of it. But the truth is that you smell it. Because you would never have gone far in that church unless you really were part of it. True or false? The fact that he climbed very high there meant that his spirit is, he has fellowship. He has spiritual fellowship with the place. I told him, you see, General, you smell smoke. I need to bathe you. The first thing before you become my general is a spiritual bath. I will wash you with the word of God until you stop smelling. So I said, book number one, take this book that you are talking about, The Way of Discipleship. Since you want to be my disciple, read it 5 times, then we shall talk. He read it twice and we didn't talk again. You shall not worship the Lord your God in their way. You have rejected what they are worshiping, but you have not rejected their way. You are not worshiping what they are worshiping, but you have not rejected their way. Their way of raising money. Their way of drawing converts. Their way. Their way of serving God. Their way of running a church program. Their way. You shall not worship the Lord your God. Their way. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 9 to 11, someone read it. Deuteronomy 22, verse 9 to 11.
Do not plant 2 kinds of seed in your vineyard. If you do, not only the crops you plant, but also the fruit of the vineyard will be defiled. Do not plow with an ox and a donkey yoked together. Do not wear clothes of wool and linen woven together. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Do not plant 2 kinds of seed in the same field. Do not plow with 2 different kinds of animals under the same yoke. Do not wear 1 garment with 2 different kinds of materials. God doesn't like mixtures when it comes to his service. God says there, okay, I assume that every ministry is like a field, the Lord's vineyard. That one every Nigerian understands. Every time somebody wants to serve the Lord, he says, I want to serve the Lord in his vineyard. Hallelujah. Now assume that every ministry is the vineyard of the Lord, and that God has given us a vineyard. God is saying, don't plant Winners Chapel and CMFI in that same field. Don't plant Trem and Redeem in the same ministry. Don't plant them. Why? It will be defiled. Mixtures are defiled. God will not know whether to be committed to you people as CMFI or committed to you people as Winners. He will not give you what he gives to Winners, and he will not give you what he gives to CMFI. When he wants to give you what he gives to CMFI, you look too much like Winners. When he wants to give you what he gives to Winners, you look too much like CMFI. You end up having nothing. Nothing. Because he doesn't even know how to treat you. Mulatto ministry. We may work very hard, doing a lot of planting, only to produce that which is defiled. Just imagine that farmer. He had his vineyard, and then he planted seed here, planted another seed here. After all that hard work, God says, not only the farm itself, but the fruit that it bears is defiled. Mixtures are defiled. Who has heard me with all his three ears? Who does not know where his third ear is? Your third ear is the one in the heart. Let him who has ears to hear, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So you have two ears outside like a normal human being. And then if you are spiritually awake, you have a third ear inside the heart. I hope you have heard with your three ears. God does not bless mixtures. God does not bless mixtures. The God of heaven doesn't bless mixtures. Wish you would believe it. God does not bless mixtures. You can get the best from many, but you will not be blessed. The best from SU, the best from Catholic. Just imagine that we are as committed to our leaders like the Catholics are committed to the Pope. That we love the word of God like the Baptists and the Protestants. And that we are orthodox in our sacraments like the Baptists, believing only in baptism and in the Holy Communion. That we believe in the full power of God like the Pentecostals, that the Holy Spirit is the Lord, the Christ in our midst and on earth now, as Christ was God on earth when he was visiting. That the Holy Ghost is the Christ in our midst now. You believe you are a Pentecostal. Mix all of it, God will go out. That's the first form of syncretism that God forbids. In the second form of syncretism, in Deuteronomy 4, the verse 8 says, you shall not do as we are doing now, and as we are doing here, everyone just doing what appears, what seems fit in his own eyes. Independence, personal signatures. Personal signatures are things that God tolerates in a transit period, in an evolutive stage in the work. God may allow a lot of personal signatures, but the Bible says you shall not continue it. You shall not continue to do what seems fit. You shall find out what God commands, and you shall do it. You shall find out God's directions, and you shall follow it. You shall not continue to do as we are all doing now. Everybody doing what seems right in his own eyes. Autonomy, independence will not produce growth. God cannot bless our independence. God cannot say, glory be to the Lord Jesus. And then God also says, glory be to Theodore Andose. He cannot do it. If it is going to be glory be to God, it will be glory be to God. God blesses obedience. God does not bless independence. God blesses obedience. God doesn't bless independence. God blesses obedience. God does not bless independence. Find out what God wants done, how he wants it done, and do it. God blesses obedience. God does not bless independence. That's one reason why the work has not grown. That's one of the defilements of our work. Many of you may be asking, we have worked so hard, we have planted so much, we have gone out so much, we have done this and done that. But did you find out whether your work was defiled, whether it is mixed? Have you ever asked whether you have defiled what you embraced by bringing your signature to add to it? Syncretism or syncretism, mixtures are abominable to God. They are unclean. Spiritual hybrids, mulatto.
In bringing me to the reality of this turning point. Lord, I repent of the many ways I have brought mixture to what you have given me, to what I know. Lord, I thank you for helping me to see that it will never work. And that is the reason for the redundant work in our assemblies in Ebonyi State. Lord, I repent for instead of obeying you, I decided my own things. The songwriter says, there are only two wills before him, the will of God and that of the enemy. Father, I thank you so much for seeing that if I bring anything into what you have given, it has become the work of the enemy, and you cannot bless the work of the devil. Lord, thank you for opening my eyes and for speaking to me and for speaking to each of us for the many reasons why we have not grown. Many times I will ask, there are so many conventions, so many teachings, so many things, and so many messages shown to us. What has happened? That when we leave the convention ground, everything remains the same. Thank you, Lord, of a truth. Our message, our songs, our dances, our everything is not what we know to be what you have given us in the beginning. Lord, I repent. And I commit myself, Lord, to you, begging that you show mercy on me. I get back, O Lord, to what I know. And I get back to the foundation you have given. And I accept, O Lord, your rebuke with joy. And I accept, O Lord, this turning point that will truly bring root if I obey you. Lord, help me to obey. Lord, help us to obey. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much.
Those who are up should pray now.
Thank you very much, O God, for your word to us this morning. Thank you for your word to me this morning. Thank you, Father, for speaking out very clearly these two points, O God, I can destroy. And that destroys your work and destroys the church in our hands, O God. Mixtures, mixtures, mixtures. Father, which has come into our own church, even the church I lead, oh God. Father, I pray that you help me as I hear this morning, oh God, that mixture destroy and grant that I'll be attentive to it. Grant that I receive the warning, oh God, and pay attention to it, oh God. Father, I pray that my eyes will open to my independence, oh God. Father, that I'll start fearing, oh God, trying to make my signature clear, oh God, about what I'm supposed to consult. Oh, Father, I pray that my eyes will open and I'll take the warning, oh God. I beg you, help me, Lord.